Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkon Dorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening colour.
Welcome to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, bringing the shapers of the business world together with the musicians shaping jazz, soul and blues. My guest today, I'm extremely pleased to say, is the brilliant Lemon Fuller. I've just called you brilliant, Lemon, but we've only just met. CEO and founder of Lemonade Dolls, the UK lingerie brand. Having spent 12 years as a singer, songwriter and dancer, travelling the world, working with artists such as, you may have heard of these, Beyoncé, Avicii and Justin Bieber, Lemon had nevertheless seen many of her peers struggling with confidence. Returning to London, she created an Instagram account, Lemonade Dolls, in 2017, with the aim of helping women feel good about themselves. With a rapidly growing online community, Lemon noticed the frequent chat around a lack of inclusive lingerie. Despite having no background in lingerie, fashion or business, Lemon sought to tackle the issue and launched her Lemonade Dolls lingerie brand in 2019. The disruptor brand is now a global success, championing empowerment and inclusivity, creating innovative first-to-market products and selling one of their products every single minute. Not bad. It's fabulous having you here. Singer, songer, dancer. And of course, when you start, you walk in and you're kind of moving, the eyes are alight and you're a performer.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
But you are a performer. I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? It's in your blood.
Yeah, I popped out of the womb in the splits and jazz hands. And I've kind of never looked back, but I've just kind of found different avenues to use it.
How young were you when you realised that you wanted to, you know, get into that industry?
You know, embarrassingly, I was that child with the hairbrush in front of the mirror, kind of the moment I could stand. So pretty much from day dot, you know, right at the beginning.
And did you work hard at it when you were in it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was, you know, growing up as a kid, I was at my local dance school in Chichester, you know, every single night of the week. By the time I was 9, I was working on reception to get extra classes. Come from humble, you know, beginnings, so had to kind of, you know, work out a way to make it happen. Yeah, I just loved it. I loved it every day after school, every weekend.
And the names I mentioned, Beyoncé, Avicii, Justin Bieber. I mean, I've heard of some of those.
Yeah.
I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
But that's impressive, isn't it? I mean, working with very, very famous people, what's that actually like?
No, it's fantastic. Most of the people that you mentioned, all of the people that you mentioned are fabulous.
How polite you are.
I know, there you go. No, but it's been epic. I was really lucky. I don't usually say that, but I did have a couple of lucky breaks whilst working very, very hard my whole teenage years, and got a scholarship to Italia Conti, moved to the Big Smoke, and that kind of all started from there. And I was able to just kind of climb the ladder one step at a time whilst being a shop girl to pay for my rent. And it just spiraled, and I was able to get in with the BBC and get in with ITV. I worked on live shows at that point. I then did not need to be a shop girl anymore.
Nothing wrong with being a shop girl.
Hey, listen, yeah. I was probably have more money then than I do now.
Toffee vodka, a bit sweet though.
Yeah, yeah.
I can say this from bitter experience. It's such a good idea at the time. And
yeah.
It's really bad about 10 minutes later when you've had four of them.
100%, or the next morning.
Or the next morning, especially
the next morning.
That goes without saying.
100%. But yeah, it was a really exciting time of my life. I learned so much and really understood about, I guess, branding and kind of like confidence and climbing that ladder. And I think that was one of the key drivers in building Lemonade Dolls, was that for a long time I didn't recognize it, but I was climbing the ladder with a lot of my incredible male friends, and we did really exciting things all over the world. And it took, I don't know, when I was probably about 25, 26, 27 to go, well, hold on, I'm not actually the best at this. Why am I here? You know, why my other friend, you know, who's way more talented than I am, why is she not standing where I am? And I really put it down to confidence and resilience. Not my talent. I'm good at what I do. I'm not putting myself down. I'm great. But there are people better. And so what I highlighted was yeah, that lack of confidence in the females around me. And it really started to irritate me. And I wanted to do something about it. I wasn't sure how I was going to do anything. And that's when I set up an Instagram account that existed purely to make women feel good about themselves and to encourage them to take over the world and believe in themselves. And I called it Lemonade Dolls.
Tell me about that moment when you said, you know what, there's a business idea in here. At what point did you say, it's not just about me, Lemon, talking about confidence, it's about me, Lemon, building something which will give people confidence?
Yeah, I set up the Instagram account, and when it started to build a community of incredible women all over the world, I realised that I loved something as much as music. And it was that. It was the power in making women connect and feel good about themselves and believe in themselves and actually, you know, realizing that we all need it.
And so then that, lingerie, where did lingerie come from within the context of that?
Well, I knew I needed to turn it into some sort of business so I could leave music and or take a break from music, you know, and really put everything I had into this idea. And it was at the time when I couldn't find any lingerie that I liked to wear. Victoria's Secrets was dominating the market, which was kind of everything I was standing against at the time. And then there was M&S, which we all love M&S, but maybe not something that everyone wants to say around a dinner table with your girlfriends that you're really proud of shopping at M&S for your lingerie. So there was kind of a big gap in the market for something really cool, something really fresh, something innovative that catered to the mass market. And it goes a little bit further than that. You know, I'm a thin, privileged white woman, so I can actually shop from everywhere. So I'm super lucky in that way. But actually, I have friends that weren't so lucky, and I didn't realise. I was super naive. So I didn't realise that there was more than just a gap in the market for offering. There was actually a lack of representation and offering for people completely. You know, so there were people that were a size 20 that didn't have a lingerie or underwear brand that they could actually buy from, you know, or there was people that, you know, have never, ever been represented like in marketing with any of these brands. They don't feel like they're associated with them or that they're being catered for. So it wasn't just me. So I had, you know, my needs, but then I realized there was a lot bigger needs that needed to be served. And that then made me even more angry and even more ambitious and even more excited to provide something for all of these people.
And we'll find out exactly how she did provide it for those people, because going from that idea, which is absolutely spot on, to delivering it is quite a different thing. Stay with me for much more from my business shaper today. It's Lemon Fuller, founder of Lemonade Doll. She's back in a couple of minutes, but right now we're going to hear a taster from the Michigan Academy digital sessions. They can be found on all the major podcast platforms. Michigan Dare's Emily Knight talks to Charlotte Young, a fund manager at Troy Asset Management, about why women historically invest less than men and what's being done to change that.
Michigan Academy Digital Sessions. Conversations on the legal topics affecting businesses and individuals today.
Why do you think it's important to increase the numbers of women pursuing a career in investment at the graduate level?
So it's a few things. I think firstly, this is a great job. No day is the same. We are always learning. It's so interesting. You're traveling, you're learning about the world. And I think women should be counted into that. The second is, what we're doing is we're allocating capital across the economy. So we're, I think, performing a pretty important societal role, whether this is funding startups at the venture capital end or at the publicly listed equity end, holding company management teams to account. So asking them, why are your carbon emissions X? What are your policies on diversity at board level? You know, why should it only be or predominantly be men around the table at that point? I think it's really important that we're all holding those businesses to account together. And then at the startup end, you know, that there is a problem whereby female founders generally receive a lot less funding than their male counterparts. And in some senses, there's no wonder, because if you've got a homogenous set of decision makers, quite often they might just not see the business case for perhaps that female product or a minority product, which just you can't relate to. So you need to have those decision makers being more diverse to understand where the money needs to go. And then the third thing, diverse teams make better decisions. And we've got a fiduciary duty to our clients. Many of my clients are charities. We've got to optimize their returns. So I want to have a good balance of perspectives on the team. And part of that balance is having a gender mix as well.
The Michigan Academy Digital Sessions. To access advice for businesses that is regularly updated, please visit michigan.com. Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Michigan Dorea. It's business, but it's personal.
You can enjoy all our former Business Shapers on the Jazz Shapers podcast, and you can catch this very programme again if you pop Jazz Shapers into your podcast platform of choice. My guest there is Lemon Fuller, CEO and founder of Lemonade Dolls, the UK lingerie brand. We were hearing all about the absolutely excellent case, the total addressable market, as they call it in the parlance, Lemon, about why you should do this business. But here's the person in front of me who at that point was a performer, was a singer, was a dancer, all the songwriter and all those things. What did you do to initially start that business? How did you get from that moment to actually starting to make stuff and sell it? Because that's a big deal.
Yeah, but I wasn't by myself at that point. You know, I had a community of incredible women helping me and backing me every step of the way. So I started by just asking them what they wanted, you know, what they were missing, what they needed. And that gave me kind of a launch pad of how I was going to design it, how I was going to kind of, you know, take it to market. You know, and I don't necessarily think we need to go into the fact that when I launched it, I was completely screwed over by a VC and was removed as CEO and had all my shares of the company pretty much taken away because I was completely unknowledgeable and had no idea what I was doing. But they liked the idea and knew that I was onto something in terms of, you know, potential growth and potential addressable market. But
you managed to get through that, though.
I did. Yes. Relaunched the business and got all my shareholders diluted and gave me growth shares back.
How did you know what to do, Lemon?
Regardless
of the deal, well,
I still don't know what I'm doing.
None of us do, obviously. But at that point of essentially protecting your thing, you know, your background is in a totally different industry, and there you are managing to fight the might of some experience and expertise, whoever the VC people were, and we don't need to talk about that. But there's legal stuff to consider, there's commercial stuff to consider. How did you know what to do?
I didn't. I just took it one step at a time, one day at a time. Still learning every single day. I feel like every day I wake up, I'm stepping into a day that I've never experienced before. And I'm, you know, 5.5 years in from the day we launched as a business.
How many times has it almost gone south in that time?
Too many times. All the time. You know, not all the time.
A lot, though.
Yeah, a lot. But, you know, the growth story really happened when I was actually able to become CEO of the business and believe in myself. And yeah, that was 2.5 years ago, and that's when it's really exploded.
And what was the moment when you started to genuinely believe in yourself versus the confidence that you had as a performer? Because they're two different things. One is a kind of years and years and years of you in front of the mirror with the hairbrush.
Yeah.
I can see it now. And the other one is, oh, I'm running a business. Okay, why did you suddenly go, I've got this?
Yeah, we were at rock bottom. It was, you know, we were nearly going to go into administration. And I had to make some really, you know, big girl decisions. And it was whether I was going to take this to the end and I was going to do everything I possibly could to drive this company and, you know, do what I said that I was going to do for the community that we had built together or not. And actually, there was only one option, and it was to do what I set out. And then I just had to be super brave.
May I ask you a question? Do you talk to yourself a lot about that? As in, when you're in those moments when there is a big decision coming, do you find yourself giving you that pep talk that you need to have? Or has it just come naturally?
Yeah, I work. No, it has not come naturally. Like, I've had to, you know, I have to work on it every single day. Even now, you know, we're 5.5 years in. Yes, we sell a product a minute. We're a multi-million pound business now. You know, it's super exciting and it's incredible. But, you know, I struggle with being a CEO every single day. You know, what I am really comfortable is, you know, singing and being on stage, you know, not managing a team of incredible people. That is something that I have to work on and challenging them and pushing them.
So why are you doing it out of interest? If you love the thing you were doing and now you happen to have done, there's a mission in you going, there's just stuff that needs fixing out. I'm going to create this business. Yeah. I can do that. Why are you pushing yourself so hard?
Because the mission is so important to me. And actually, when I look back at what I was doing in music or the songs I was writing were kind of the same thing. Like, the narrative hasn't changed.
Which
it's just the direction. Just female empowerment, female, you know, making people feel good about themselves and believing in themselves and just driving for what is right and what is important to them.
Is there a lyric that you often refer to as you, or is that a bit too?
No.
I was just checking. But you know what I mean? If you're a songwriter, you go, there is a thing.
You can do it. No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Nice voice there. Nice voice. Stay with me because I've got Lemon Fuller with me, and she has a lovely voice, but is also, more importantly, in the context of this, is running a business, creating, delivering on a vision and a mission that she has set down, which is to give women power and to make them feel confident and a lot more. We were talking about mission, and I'd written some notes about you as a campaigner. There's the businesswoman, and then there's the campaigner, and the campaigner for empowerment, the campaigner that says it's important to vote, the campaigner that says, you know what, it's not appropriate that refugees don't have underwear to wear. That's just not right. The campaigner that says the environment matters, so I'm going to make biodegradable material pieces of underwear, even. I'm thinking, what are we doing? We're doing an underwear. That's what we're doing. He's going to say the word. He's going to spit it out. Yeah. You're looking at me going, come on, Elliot.
Come on, you've got
you can
this.
Do it. You've got this. Underwear.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff to be doing. And years ago, I worked with The Body Shop when Anita Roddick was alive. Yeah. And it was exactly the same thing. Yes, it's a business, but the business needs to do the right thing. Who have been your inspirations over the years as you look towards creating what I call a campaigning brand?
Yeah, do you know what? I feel like I'm sounding like a broken record, but the community. Actually, Body Shop is a great example that have done it well and done it right. But actually, there's not a huge amount of those out there. Mm. And actually, I think one thing that has kind of set us apart is that we don't really try and compare ourselves to other people. We don't look at what everyone else is doing. We just move forward in the way that, well, I think and the team thinks and the community think is the right way to do it. And, you know, there is so much to do and there is so much that is possible. You know, it makes, like, as you list out like that, I'm like, gosh, that might be why I'm so tired. But really.
Might be why I've got no time at all,
yeah,
ever.
Like, exactly. Yeah. But actually, you know, seriously, I genuinely believe that it is all possible and it's just choices. And we make the choice to, you know, spend 30% extra on each garment to make it recycled fabrics because it's either non-recycled or recycled. You know, we choose the one that we want. You know, do we donate to refugees? Yes, we do. We'll be at over 45,000 pairs of briefs that will be found in Europe in the refugee camps. And to me, it's just a no-brainer. It's just being like bold and us deciding what the right thing to do is for us as a brand. And whilst we want to grow, of course we do, but our mission, it comes back to the mission of it being the most important part of what we're doing. You know, I love lingerie. I want to give women lingerie that can't wear it, but actually the mission is 100% the most important part. And we can't just, you know, have that mission and cater to some people, you know, and that's why price point's really important to me. I don't believe you can be sustainable with a really high price point product because you're really saying you're just sustainable for, you know, affluent rich people, you know. So the mission comes down to everything that we do. And so all the things that you mentioned are just part of that mission.
Yeah. And the community, what I'm interested in also, people say I'm a community brand. That's what I'm important. What's the interaction? How do you know what the community are thinking and saying?
Yeah, well, we talk to them all the time. Obviously, social media is an incredible platform for that. We started as just me and the community speaking through stories, DMs, posts, sharing each other's content. Last year, we did a load of focus groups where we had menopausal groups, black babes, Asian babes, LGBTQIA plus babes. We just get to understand exactly what they want because, by the way, they all want different things, right? So if you don't do this as a brand, and a lot of people don't do it because they don't really know how to, because they think they might say the wrong thing. I say the wrong thing all the time. You know, I get it wrong all the time. Tell me, teach me, like we're learning, you know, help us cater for you. And we have community shoots. We get them involved in our campaigns. They're on our website.
And in terms of the community around you as a founder and your journey to raising the money, to how you feel, and you've mentioned, you know, you sort of feel like a bit of a, you know, an imposter. And we all do, by the way. I think it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, a young or old, most 100%. Of us just go, what are we actually doing here? How have you managed to navigate through the fundraising piece, through the kind of having to change the team, through kind of almost going to administration, all those other things?
Yeah.
Where are you getting your energy from and your knowledge and your advice from? Where's that coming from?
So I think it's been a journey. When I look back to when I raised my first round of capital, which, by the way, in the industry, it's called friends and family round, which I thought was really hilarious because, you know, my friends and family could probably, you know, pull up about 250 quid with my like artist friends and like struggling artists trying to get their next job. It's a journey. It's a roller coaster. You learn as you go. It's probably one of the most common questions I get asked by other female founders and female entrepreneurs. Lemon, how have you raised your money? How have you, you know, got investors to believe in you and your product? you've got to believe in it more than anyone else on this planet. You've got to believe in yourself more than anyone on this planet. And it does change. It gets easier once you have data points, once you've proven yourself, you know. And I mean, we've got to work a lot harder, you know, as women. You know, the stats, unfortunately, are not changing. 98% of funding goes to, VC funding goes to men, and 2% are given to women, which is shocking. And it hasn't changed. And you know, I hope it does change, but that's the reality that we have to face. So we've got to work harder than, you know, anyone. And, you know, and it's even lower for Black female founders too. So it's just, yeah, it's a circus, but it's possible.
Stay with me for my final chat and the last bit of the circus. And I'm sure it has been. It's Lemon Fuller. She's my business shaper. And we've also got some Jordan Rakai. He's coming up too. That's in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mish Kondorea. It's business, but it's personal.
Lemon Fuller is my business shaper just for a few more minutes. I've read something you said. I love a dark horse. I love The Dropout. I love people that work hard. Where's that come from? That sense of, I think it sounds like someone who wants to level the playing field a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I am always inspired by someone that has had to work their absolute butt off to get where they are today. And I guess maybe that's how I feel like how I've got where I am today. So that's maybe why I'm inspired by it and I try and champion it. And especially now being in business more than anything, you know, a lot of my peers haven't kind of come from the background that I have come from. I had a great background, by the way, but, you know, different different to a lot of my peers that are now running the businesses of our size. And and I just think I want to support that, and I want to try and mentor as many people as possible that, you know, are interested in that. And I think there's a massive gap in education as well around entrepreneurship. It seems to be, you know, for a long time, it's been people that have come from privilege, or, you know, have parents that are entrepreneurs, or, you know, have an uncles, aunties, maybe more uncles, that are entrepreneurs.
Let's be honest, it will be more uncles at this point.
Let's be honest, yeah. At this point, hopefully in a couple, yeah, you know, in 10 years' time, it'll be really different. But, and that's just, you know, it's important, and we need to, and it's going to help the economy. You know, we have one of the lowest rates of female entrepreneurship in the world, and we're way behind the US and Canada and Europe, and you know, we've got some moves to make. I just want to encourage as many women people, actually, to be honest, in entrepreneurship.
And do you hire in your own image? Do you hire people that are dark horses? And
100%. I try and hire people that have that entrepreneurial spirit. One thing I made a massive mistake on at the beginning of Lemonade Dolls is that I hired some really massive CVs, you know, and they were, you know, on paper. That's probably what helped the fundraise, some of the early fundraisers. But actually, it was a total disaster because I wanted to move forward with no red tape. I wanted to take risks. I wanted to, you know, listen to what some women on Instagram thought and what I thought with no, you know, education around running a business. And that was, you know, we were butting heads. Now, some of our best hires have never worked in a business before, you know, never worked in marketing before, or, you know, it's their first time being, you know, CFO in a startup. And I think, you know, that resilience, that confidence, and that work ethic is what drives a small business to become a disruptor.
And those people and the community and you, what kind of products are we now building? What have they all said we want to do? What does Lemonade Dolls look like now?
Yeah, it's inclusive, it's fun, it's fresh, it's bold. We've innovated first to market products. So they've literally, the community have inspired us to create the first H-cup bralette that works with support. We are creating a first to market product that's launching on International Women's Day next year. We've moved the gusset placements of all of our undies to 4 centimetres forward because actually they weren't serving the right purpose for hundreds of years. So yeah, we've been on a really exciting journey to just improve what's out there.
You don't like rules, do you?
I really, really dislike them.
And the rule, if you want to move the gusset, you go move the gusset. But actually,
exactly.
It's just common. It's all saying what essentially do people really need versus what they've been told they need or what they've been given.
Exactly. And actually, you know, when you're trained in, you know, there's some incredible training, you know, schools for underwear and making product, but then they're taught something, you know, whereas we were never taught, I wasn't taught how to make underwear. So when they told me it wasn't possible, I said, why not? And when they said, well, it's just not possible, I said, that's not good enough. Let's try again. you know, let's recreate a block. And so we've got, you know, our own unique blocks with our gussets forward, with fuller cups that are serving a bigger chest size. And, you know, it's cool. Feels like, you know, the world is our oyster.
It's been great chatting to you, Lemon.
You too. Thank you for having me.
No, absolute pleasure. Just before I let you disappear to go break some more rules, what's your song choice and why have you chosen it?
Lean On Me by Bill Withers. It was one of the first songs that I ever learned to sing as a kid, and I sang it as a solo in Chichester in my dance school, Arabesque. And yeah, it means a lot to me and my family.
Bill Withers there with Lean On Me, the song choice of my business shaper today, Lemon Fuller. She was mission-led. She talked all about how important it was to her that women feel confident. And that's really been the driving force of everything that she's been doing. You've got to believe in it, she said. If you're going to raise money, if you're going to make it work, you absolutely 100% have to have more belief in your business than anybody else. And finally, that lovely point about it's all possible. She is someone who doesn't believe in rules, dislikes them inherently, and that's what's defined how she's built her business. Great stuff. That's it from Jazz Shapers. Have a lovely weekend.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondorea. It's business, but it's personal.
We hope you enjoyed that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishkon.com/Jazz Shapers.